History's been leaning on me lately. I can feel the future breathing down my neck.
Hello and welcome to Recovering with Damien Gibson. I am the said Damien Gibson. And this podcast is about recovering or recovery. being sober, abstaining from drugs and alcohol. I got a really positive response about last week's episode, so I think I'm going to stick to being off script and just talking about a particular sort of subject, probably through telling stories about my experience. So I thought, based on the feedback that I got from last week and sharing my story of coming to the realization of having to get sober, what happened next? Like what were the next steps? Because I realized I kind of just said it, you know, listening back to it, it kind of came across like, you know, and then I realized I needed to get sober and I got sober at the end. and obviously that's not the case. So I thought I could kind of go through the next couple of weeks from that point, what I did, what I found really helpful, sort of go from there. Last week I kind of left it off that I'd had a conversation with my dad, and I told a whole bunch of friends and family about that I was going to give up drinking. I kind of, thinking back on it now, I remember I was saying to people, I'm not going to drink for the next little bit. And that was a piece of advice that I got off my dad, which I did do for a little bit. And then I sort of realized that once I initially I said, I'm just not going to drink for a while. And I think there's a lot of shame that does come with it. I don't want to sort of, I don't want to gloss over how difficult it can be, especially in social situations from a practical standpoint. But I found for myself, there was a huge amount of shame, like you had fucked up, like you were a fuck up, are a fuck up, you know, there's something wrong with you, there's something intrinsically wrong with you physically. And it's kind of, you know, alcoholism and drug addiction, I mean, drug addiction is a different thing because people sort of seem to understand the addictive nature of it more. Alcohol is, although having said that, people are pretty dismissive of drug addiction from a societal standpoint. But anyway, when it comes to drinking, because it is, especially in Australia, because it is so prevalent, there is an element, and I don't think anyone means to sort of pigeonhole people who don't drink like this, but there is an element of, you know, you kind of get put in the discount bin, in the seconds bin socially a little bit. It's like, oh, well, we can't go out with them because they can't drink, and that's what we all do. And I was terrified of that happening with my friendship group, which for the most part did not happen. There's been some miscommunications with friends at some point about what, you know, what I need, with, you know, being in places for periods of time. But anyway, so I kind of very gently, you know, listening back to last week's episode, I made it sound like I just announced to the world that I was quitting drinking and I was totally okay with it, and everyone else was totally okay with it. And that wasn't necessarily the case. I didn't want to mislead anybody. So I'm just trying to go into detail with that a little bit more. Yeah, so I don't know if that's whatever you think is the best way to speak to people about it. It's your choice. My advice would be to maybe go a little bit harder than what I did if you're going to tell friends and family, because I think I was still trying to make it sound like I didn't have a problem, you know, like I was, so oh, I'm just not going to drink for the next little bit, you know, everything's all cool, everything's fine, don't worry about me, I'm good, I'm fine, I'm just not doing the thing that I used to do all the time and has basically become my personality, but I'm fine. So, you know, if you are thinking of doing or getting, you know, if you're thinking of getting your friends involved and family involved by telling them flat out that you're not going to drink, I would go flat out. I wouldn't, you know, if you've come to the realization that alcohol is a problem, then just be really honest about that with people. People are going to react in different ways to that. 98% of people are going to be amazing and supportive. And most people, if you're at a point where you think you have a problem, when you go to the people that you love and say, I'm going to quit drinking because I think it's a problem, I guarantee not one of them will say, if they really care about you, will go, oh no. You know, that was the thing that happened for me. Like, you know, it got easier each time I spoke to someone about it, but not one person turned around and went, oh no, man, please keep drinking. It's so good for you. It looks so good on you. So yeah, I just wanted to clear that. I've kind of rambled there a little bit, but I wasn't as forthright as I kind of made it sound on the podcast last week. And so I just wanted to clear that up. So I was telling people that this was what was happening. It wasn't that big a deal because it became very apparent after 4 or 5 weeks that I wasn't drinking anymore, and people were just sort of getting used to that. I made a decision almost right from the get-go that I was still going to try and go out. I was still going to go to pubs. I had my 40th birthday like 4 months after getting sober, and there was only about 15-20 people at it, but I had it at a pub, I had it at a mate's pub, the same mate's pub where I decided to quit drinking, because I wanted to not lose, I didn't want to lose my friends, I didn't want to lose a group of people, I wanted to still socialize and stuff, so I thought it was really important for me to be able to be around alcohol and not drink it. I don't know if many experts would suggest that that's a good idea. It did work for me somewhat. I learned very quickly that I could only be in a situation where people were drinking for a couple of hours, maybe 2 or 3 hours, and then I had to get out of there. Obviously there's a part of you that thinks, you know, drink would be good, but it was more for me that I just had to, you know, being around, look, when you're drunk and hanging out with drunk people, it's the best. But when you're sober and hanging out with drunk people, it's really hard because people start repeating themselves. You know, you get told the same story 4 or 5 times. Someone will get an idea in their head, you know, and it's all the old cliche stuff of like someone, your mate wants to tell you that they love you and they tell you like 14 times. It all becomes laborious, you know, and you're not getting anything out of it. And I kind of found myself thinking, well, the fun part of the night that my friends are going to remember, is gone. So I'm going to get out of here. What I have found is that is something that some people will really make a big deal out of. You know, if you're saying goodbye to people, there's certain people who'll be like, oh, what, you're going? What are you leaving for? What's going on? And for me personally, that just brings like a huge amount of anxiety and stuff with it, because I don't want to upset people and I want to let anybody down, but it's really important for me to be not in that situation anymore. So I would, if you are deciding to get sober and you're going to go out to a situation where you know people are going to get on and get pissed, my dad gave me a really good piece of advice of like, make sure you've always got an escape plan. You know, whether that's enough money to get an Uber home or a cab or a ride from someone else who is not drinking, some form, a hard out, telling people from the get-go, I've got to leave at 9:30. Things like that. If you're worried about not, people getting upset about you leaving early, set an expectation when you first get in there if you're confident enough to do that. You know, but ultimately, there's also no shame in just leaving and not saying goodbye to people. If it means protecting your sobriety, would absolutely do that. So the first couple of months after I was getting sober, with social stuff, that's what I was trying to do. I was kind of wading into the shallow end of socializing. And the people who really cared about me, which is the vast majority of people in my life, you know, they didn't care if I was leaving early. They wouldn't say anything. They'd be, you know, kind of like, there were some people who were like, oh man, I can't believe you coming out. I won't lie. I mean, what tends to happen is that, or what I've found with my friends anyway, is that the relationship just changes. So yeah, you probably don't get invited to the pub anymore if people are going to have a big night and get on it. But that makes sense because you don't want to be there. They don't want you there because, you know, it's a reminder of, well, not a reminder for, you know, the perils of drinking or anything like that. But, you know, you don't, if you're going out and having a big night, you don't want some sober person just sitting at the table looking miserable. So what ends up happening is you just start, what I have found, you end up having more sort of one-on-one time with people. You'll go for coffee or lunch or go to a movie. Things that I actually much prefer doing with my friends anyway, because you get more one-on-one time with the person. It's quality. You end up having quality time over quantity. You might hang out with 15 people at the pub, but you know, you speak to them for 3 minutes, and after the first 3 hours, you can't remember what you were speaking about anyway. So yeah, social situations, that's always having an out, an escape route was essential. I mean, it sounds kind of funny, but it really made a huge difference for me, to the point now where I could quite easily go to a pub for 3-4 hours. And I mean, God, 3-4 hours sounds awful. But, you know, I could quite easily do that, and it's not a huge deal. If you're in a situation where, you know, you're really finding it hard to be around alcohol or booze, don't go. There's no point in going to anything if you think it's going to put your sobriety at risk. That has to be the number one priority for you personally. You know, obviously you're going to have kids and partners and wives, husbands, girlfriends, boyfriends that are obviously just as important as that. But, you know, things that I have found that are difficult for me are things like weddings, birthday parties, things that go for a long time and are usually completely centered around people getting absolutely pissed. But again, if you just set expectations with people, you know, let them know why you're leaving. It's like, hey, man, everyone's starting to get a bit drunk, so I'm going to bail. if the person knows you really well, they'll get it, you know. And if other people want to judge, then that's on them. What I was doing outside of the socializing part, because that was a big thing for me. I was really worried about losing friends, things completely changing, because you're making a big decision, you're making big steps. So if you're feeling that way, it's completely understandable. But things really won't change that much. And most people who are around you, if they love you, they will welcome that change. They'll want that change for you. As far as actual recovery steps are concerned, my journey has been, God, I hate the word journey. I've got to stop using it. It's so wanky. But my path is just as bad. What I did was I sort of dipped my toes in a whole bunch of different things. I did some meditation courses. I did a a recovery course with Russell Brand, the comedian actor, who is also a recovering alcoholic and drug addict. He wrote a book called Recovery, which I read about around the time I got sober as well. That, you know, it helped. It's a lot of AA teaching, sort of just rebranded, pardon the pun, but did help. I read a lot of different books. I went to a couple of smart recovery meetings, which were online, which kind of gave me the idea of doing this podcast, because I found even the, if you ever do go to an AA meeting or a smart recovery meeting, they are brilliant. They're fantastic organizations. And if they work for you, it's definitely worth checking out to see if it does work for you, because if it does, great. Whatever it takes, do it. I found for me personally, the idea of sharing and kind of in an open forum with strangers, I found that really terrifying. I couldn't bring myself to do it, which is weird, because there are times where I can be quite an extrovert. I host like 7,000 different podcasts, but I just couldn't do it. I just couldn't bring myself to do it. I didn't want to keep repeating my trauma. I know that's an overused word, but I just didn't want to keep repeating it over and over again to other people's faces. So I just couldn't bring myself to do it. I didn't mind listening to other people sharing, but there were times where I was like, this seems like we're concentrating on the negatives. You know, and for some people that's really important to work through their stuff to get to a point to realize why they've quit drinking and how they can stay sober, and having that support network all the time is the most important thing. For me, I was quite a solitary gent, especially when trying to work out problems. And I just, it really became about trying to work out why, you know, why can't I drink like a normal human being? Which is something that I'm still trying to figure out. So I started reading the Tibetan Book of the Dead, which I'll be honest, I still haven't finished, but there was quite a few eye-opening ideas in there, mainly about trying to live in the moment, and you know that it's more than just an Instagram catchphrase. That it has to be something that you try to learn, because a lot of my behaviors were driven by just pure anxiety, and then those behaviors cause more anxiety. So sitting with my emotions was something that I had to learn how to do, and I started doing that by having one-on-one talk therapy, and that helped quite a bit. So especially that first kind of 2 to 3 months, I spoke to my dad a lot. That really helped, and I can't reiterate enough that I was very lucky to have that. I think having that support of someone who's been through the same thing, it's hard to talk to someone about this stuff if they haven't had the shared experience. friends and family will always be really strong and be a shoulder to cry on and someone to speak to. But it's like anything, you know, like you talk to people at your work about work stuff, and then when you talk to your partner about it, you can see that they kind of clock off a bit because they're not involved. It's not their life. You know, it's a different life that you share with these other people. And it's kind of the same thing. It's the same thing with people who are sober. Like, you know the shame of doing things that are not great. You know, like you might have, I'll just use some examples for myself. When I was younger, you know, you stay at someone's house and then you're so broke from the amount of money that you spent the night before. So you take $20 out of their wallet or whatever to get on with the rest of your day. And, you know, that these are things that, you know, are gross and awful, and they bring about so much shame and remorse. But someone who has done something similar or worse, or you know, however you want to grade these things, but someone who's done, you know, as someone who has lost control to a point where you've done something that you really regret, you know, someone who's getting sober and has had to sit and go through those things and make peace with them to a point, let go of them. It's great to have someone like that in your life that can have those conversations with you. And that is the strength of AA, which my dad is a big part of here in Melbourne, because they do have that network. So if you think that that's something that would help you, you know, having a sponsor or something, then AA is definitely the place to go. But that was one other thing that I just thought of then, doing the Russell Brand recovery book, recovery course that he does, was making an emotional inventory and basically going through all the things that brought shame from your drinking experiences and having to be really honest with yourself about all of them, and then how those things made you feel at the time, how they make you feel now, and then letting go of them. And if you hurt anybody in that process, making amends to them. And that doesn't necessarily mean just saying sorry. You know, it's a good way to try and do that is to... I might do a whole podcast on that, because I did do this with a few people on it. Went well with a couple of people and went really poorly with others, and that will happen as well. But that's the penance you've got to pay. But yeah, so, you know, I know this has all kind of been a bit higgledy-piggledy in parts, but essentially I suppose what I'm trying to say is, as far as once you've made the decision to get sober, that's obviously the hardest part. I know that's a cliche, but it's a cliche for a reason, because it's the truth. And once you've done that, you know, people sort of talk about that like that's the battle. And it is to a point, but the next 6 to 12 months is the really hard part. And really, ultimately, what you need to do is have a plan of some description. You know, whether it's doing a weird magpie's nest of shit like I did, or going a more traditional route of just walking into an AA meeting and saying, you know, hi, I'm Damien, I'm an alcoholic, and going from there. All of it's fine. All of those answers are fine. Smart recovery is correct. AA is correct. The way I've done it is correct. Therapy is correct. Just if you are some sort of stoic marvel that can just switch it off and go, I'm not drinking anymore, and then never think about it again, that's correct as well. Although I would really, really suggest that you do some sort of group talk or group therapy, but you do you, boo. Whatever, whatever's going to keep you sober is the correct path. So yeah, I'll put some links. We're at 25. God, I can talk. We're at 25 minutes, so I might wrap it up there. But that I might do the next couple of episodes on the next sort of, because that was the first sort of 2-3 months of having a plan about social interactions, and then also just trying to do work on myself to get a clearer idea of why I may have, or why I might be, why I am an alcoholic. I still can't say it sometimes, why I am an alcoholic, how I got to that point, and how I can move forward. So having a plan, really, having a plan about social situations, how to stay sober, you know, anything else that might come up in between, you know, those two, I suppose, kind of polar opposites, your external life with other people and your internal life in your own head, and trying to work out and navigate all the stuff in between that as well. And talk to other people about it. Say, I'm thinking about doing this, I'm thinking about doing that. I really think that getting things out in the open, saying things to other people, is good, because it helps you clarify what you want and what you think you need to do. And it can also help you be held to account by the people who love you, which is, like I said last week, can be a lot of responsibility to put on people, but most people who love you are pretty happy to do that, you know, to be like, hey, I thought you said you were going to go to an AA meeting, or aren't you going to go to those smart recovery meetings? I mean, you shouldn't have people who are nagging you, but, you know, just in the, you know, having people around you knowing that you're trying to quit drinking is good in a way, because if you go to reach for a drink, you know, hopefully they'll say, what are you doing? And you'll get snapped back into reality. But I found, for me, having, you know, writing things down, making a lot of lists, emotional inventory, setting small goals of, I mean, really it's a daily goal of just not having a drink. That's a very AA philosophy. But I also had sort of short-term goals of like, well, I'm definitely, you know, I don't know how good of advice this is actually, but I would have things like, okay, well, I'm definitely going to make it to my birthday, and then I'll reassess. And I, sort of knowing in the back of my mind that I would every single time choose not drinking, because what started happening, I suppose it's probably good to give you some positive reinforcement, because it wasn't all hellscape, you know, therapy and looking at like navel gazing all the time. Things started to improve, you know, like I quit smoking, I had more money in the bank, my relationships were improving, even my, you know, my dating life. I mean, I held off on dating for a little bit, but once I did get back into the dating world, things started to improve really quickly, because I was having quality experience. Well, even if I wasn't having quality experiences, at least I remembered them, you know, but I found myself just being naturally in a better headspace from a mental health point of view, having more self-worth and confidence. It really is amazing how little you think about yourself when you are in this cycle of addiction. You really think of yourself as a piece of shit. I know that because I did for 20 years. And it does improve. Like you will start to feel better about yourself just by making that one decision. Just by looking, just being honest with yourself and saying, I have to quit this. And, it from day one, it made a huge difference to my mental health as in a positive way. So sitting down, talking to someone, making a plan of how you're going to tackle your sobriety, and going from there. All right, I'm going to wrap it up. I think next week I'll probably talk a little bit more about like the next, you know, the 6-month mark and beyond and how I've sort of kept the sobriety going, and then we can sort of get into maybe a few more, you know, the minutiae a little bit about like making amends to people and things like that. But yeah, thank you for listening. It's nice to have a nice group of people who are already listening to the podcast and reaching out to me and you know, getting something out of it. So that's really cool. This podcast will always be free. There'll never be any ads on it. I don't want anything from it. I'm not going to start a social media for it. It's not, you know, like it's not for to try and get famous or anything like that. It's just, it helps me as much as it probably helps me more than it helps anybody else. But if it does help you in some way and you think that someone else might get some benefit out of it, just pass it along. And that would be awesome. All right, guys, look after yourselves, and I'll speak to you next week. Decided that it's going to lose its mind. Be more kind, my friend. Try to be more kind.